Hey, Rev City Church and friends and family. We are so glad that you're here with us today. We love you and we miss you tremendously.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, our worship team gathered together and led 14 worship songs to help ensure that we could continue to have dynamic worship experiences together online. And so we want to encourage you today, don't just watch this service. Participate, engage, worship, and pray. Would you allow me to pray over our worship time today? Father, in the name of Jesus, we choose in this season to look to you, to trust you, and to worship you. And as we worship you, we thank you that you will fill our hearts and fill our homes with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's worship the Lord together today.
makes a better word. And your blood, the measure of my worth, your blood is more than I deserve. Your blood speaks a better word. It speaks a better word. Let's sing it out with life. It's shouting down the lies, and it echoes through the night. The precious blood of Christ speaks a better word. Speaks a better word. Your blood. Your blood. A robe of righteousness. Your blood. My hope and my defense. Your blood. Forever covers me.
Better word. Speaks a better word. Whoa. in that awesome worship. Let's continue to stay in that attitude of worship this morning. I want to share with you a prophetic encouragement. The Lord asked me this week as I was meditating on the worship set. He said, Eddie, what word are you battling this week? Is it anxiety? Is it hopelessness? Is it anger? He said, the blood of my son Jesus speaks a better word against any word that you would have experienced. He said, in anxiety, his perfect love cast out all fear. In his presence is fullness of joy and peace, and he is hope for the hopeless. He said, whatever things you've experienced up to this point, whatever things that you've gone through, the blood of my son Jesus speaks a better word than anything that you can see, anything that you can hear, and anything that you've experienced. So whatever lie you have believed up to this point, trust that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks a better word. So right now, wherever you're at, you draw near to him and he's going to draw near to you. His grace is sufficient for you. His perfect love, again, it casts out all fear. It envelops you right now. Jesus, our living hope, has broken every chain that has held you bound. So trust that the word of God, that the blood of Jesus, that the cross has spoken a better word over you today. Let's continue our worship this morning. God bless you.
Jesus, you are the calm in the storm. You are our living hope. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Who could imagine?
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin. Cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living.
Come on, we sing.
Promise.
are so glad that you joined us today for worship. I hope that you felt the tangible presence of the Lord wherever you're at, in your home, in your vehicle, watching from your couch. I just want to encourage you that His presence is with you. He cares about you and He loves you so, so much. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to the Lord and He will draw near to you." And in this season where maybe you feel like you can't really draw near to people like you want to, I want to encourage you that the Lord is one that you can always press into. You can always draw near to. And His promise to you is that He will draw near to you. So be encouraged with that this morning. Be encouraged that He is our hope, our living hope. And He's not done writing your story. And He has good things in store for you today. Well, we're so glad that you're here with us, watching online. Please turn to those around you. If you're watching with others, let them know that you're so grateful to be with them. Give them a hug, and we're about to continue our service in just a few moments. Welcome to Rev City Church, and welcome to our family. We are so glad that you are here. Here at Rev City, we are family, and we hope that you feel welcomed, accepted, and loved. Be sure to connect with us on social media to find daily encouragement, updates on upcoming events, all of our video sermon series, and so much more. We hope that you are blessed by the rest of our service. Have a great day.
Good morning, Rev City. Pastor Micah here. At this time, we're going to continue our worship through bringing our tithes and giving our offerings. Matthew 6, verses 3 through 4 says, "But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." With these famous words, Jesus cuts straight to the root issue of pride in our life and says, yes, give, but don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, meaning don't give to receive the praise of men, but the favor of God. If we only give to receive the praise of men, that's the only praise we're ever going to get. But when we give out of our need and love for God, we honor God with our finances, and our Father who sees everything will give us a generous reward. I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather have a God-sized reward than every sort of human praise any day of the week. But the best part about this is when we focus on giving from this heart posture, we don't just receive God's favor, we develop a deeper and more intimate relationship with Him. And there's nothing better than that. Let's pray. Father, as we prepare our tithes and offerings this morning, I ask that we could take an honest look at our hearts. Help us not give for the praise of people, but out of our love for you. I know when we do this, we will have even greater things in store for us. I thank you for your generosity towards us, and I ask that you would take this offering to bless this church, bless this state, and bless this country. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. in my way through this battle. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it.
Rev City friends and family, it is so good to be with you today, and I hope that our praise and our worship time, even as we're not together in the house of God, I'm preaching today to an empty room, but I'm hopeful that our time of praise and worship has already filled your heart and filled your home with God's presence. And if you have your Bible with you today, I want to ask you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I really believe that the Lord wants to continue to speak powerfully to our hearts. And I want to remind you today that that's really all that God is after, is your heart. And the God who created the universe, the God who holds the universe in the palm of his hand, isn't it amazing that the thing he wants more than anything is your heart? And listen, in a moment, we're going to pray for God to heal our nation and to heal the sick and to do what only he can do to bring an end to this virus and bring healing to our nation. And listen, we should be praying for those who have been affected most. We should be praying for the sick. We should pray for peace in the midst of panic. We should pray for faith in the midst of fear. But hear me, friend, above all of that, my prayer, our prayer for you today is that God captures your heart. Because listen, regardless of how long you're blessed and you're privileged to live on this side of eternity, what really matters is, does your heart belong to Jesus? And listen, when you get Jesus, you get healing. And when you get Jesus, you get peace. And when you get Jesus, you get faith that triumphs over fear. And listen, this is a time for faith that triumphs over fear. This is a time for the people of God to stand on the promises of God. And listen, isn't it interesting? Even if you haven't been, and most of us have not been affected physically by the coronavirus, but almost all of us have had to deal with the thoughts of fear and anxiety and uncertainty that have gone along with this season. And you know, I shared this recently, but it bears repeating. I think it's incredible that we named this virus the coronavirus. And that word means crown. And think about it, people of God, a crown rests upon your head, the place of your thoughts. And listen, it's one more way that the enemy is trying to rule and reign over your heart and over your mind. But listen, while the enemy looks to crown us with fear, fear of disease, fear of death, fear of loss, I want to encourage you today with something that God's word has to say. Psalm 103:4 says that he redeems me from death, and he crowns me with love and mercy. And James 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So listen, I want to encourage you, decide today. Continue to stand today. Decide today that we will reject the crown of fear, and we will reject the crown of anxiety, and we will receive the crown that God wants to give to us today, which is a crown of life, which is a crown of love and mercy, that those things would rule over our hearts and over our mind. So let's pray before we dig into God's word. And listen, I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to pray for you today. And I want to join together to pray for our nation. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, that's you and that's me, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And listen, I was reading that scripture again, and I believe that the Lord just highlighted something to me, that 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it just jumped off the page to me in a way I'd never seen before, that 2 × 7 = 14, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And God just spoke to my heart, and he said, that's my formula of faith for such a time as this. And so I want us to pray and remind you that that's a scripture that many of us are familiar with. But the pretext, the verse right before, verse 13, says this, that when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague amongst my people, if my people, once again, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So come on, let's pray together today. And let's trust that as we do our part to turn from some things and to turn to God, and as we do our part to humble ourselves and say, God, we can't do this in our own strength. We can't do this. We need you. That God will be faithful to do his part, to hear our prayer today, to forgive our sins, to forgive our land, and to heal our nation. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we're not together in this building, but we're together by the Spirit of God. And where your word says, Lord, that there's power in agreement. And so right now, before we dig into your word, we thank you, Lord, that there's power in our agreement to call upon you and to ask you in advance, God, to come and to be the solution, to heal our nation, to heal our land. We ask you, God, in faith, Lord, that you would bring an end to this virus and you would bring an end to this situation in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I pray for every person that's joining with us today. I pray for anyone, Lord, who is weak or weary or wounded or hurting in any way, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. I pray today, God, that you would touch their heart, touch their mind, touch their life, Lord, that you would strengthen and heal and restore them today because of your great love for them in the mighty name of Jesus. And come on, right where you are, all the precious people of God said, amen, amen, amen. You know, one of the scriptures that I've been hanging on to in this season is Romans 8 and verse 28. And it says this, we know in all things God works for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And listen, I just want to encourage you, continue to encourage you that the Bible, what the Bible says, the Bible means. And it really means all things, and all things includes what we're walking through together as a people today. And what I've learned is that God actually does more in my life. I don't know about you, but God does more in my life. I see him working in my character, and I see him strengthening my commitment to my faith and to my family. I see him working even more in difficult seasons than I do in good seasons. And, you know, in sports, I'm so grateful that recently one of my daughters has been playing soccer for a couple years, and just recently they began to keep score. And it was really challenging for me for those first couple of years where they weren't keeping score, because the reality of it was there were some parents on the sidelines that were keeping score. But here's what I've learned by playing sports throughout the years is that you learn far more through a difficult loss than you can ever learn through a victory. And so I'm trusting, I believe, listen, in my life, in my heart, God is teaching me some things. He's using this situation to reveal some things. He's causing me to deepen my trust and my dependency upon him. And listen, God never promised that we wouldn't go through some difficult things. He just promised that he would be with you. He just promised that he would see you through and see you to some things. And so in this season, even a difficult season, I'm trusting that God is going to speak something to you. I'm trusting that God is going to do something in your life, in your marriage, in your home, in your family, to embrace, Lord, even in a difficult time, that you're working in my life. You're working in my heart. And, you know, the quicker that we embrace that reality that God can use difficult circumstances for our good, all things, he works together for our good, the quicker we can embrace what James meant when he said, consider it a joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And he says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And listen, we begin to understand that you can't even get a testimony without going through a test. You can't spell testimony without test. You can't get the triumph without the trial. And you can't get the message without the mess. And in all those things, the trials, the difficulties, the messes of life, God is working for your good. But our part is to continue to love and to serve. And it says that there's a testing of your faith. And, you know, I was reading that scripture and just being reminded when I was a boy growing up in the Texas Panhandle, that there was a day, and it happens here too in Lawrence, Kansas, because we're in Tornado Alley. And during the storm season, there was a day of the month. I think it's the first Monday of the month that at a certain time, I think it's noon, that there's a certain time where there's a test of the tornado sirens. And here's the thing, those things, when those sirens begin to go off on a clear day, on the first Monday of the month, and you look up and it's clear, sunny skies, that's one thing. But it's a whole other thing when those sirens begin to go off and there's a cloudy gray sky and there's a storm that's rising and a storm that's brewing in your life. And I remember also as a kid when I would go home from school and I would be watching after school cartoons and I'd have my snack there and I would be sitting in the rocking chair that our family had there, right there in front of our 19-inch black and white TV that had the two knobs that you would turn and had the antennas on the top that you would have to adjust. And at certain times, we had to wrap them with foil to get the signal to tune in just right, you know. And I would come home from school, and I would get my snack, and I would sit before the TV. And there were certain times, probably on the same day, at the same time, at the start of the month, there would be that thing that would happen. You remember the test of the emergency broadcast system. And you remember right in the middle, maybe the good part of the cartoon that you were watching, and it would go to that screen, that fearful looking screen. And that hideous sound would begin to come through your TV screen, you know, and it would blare for a little while. And then that voice of that guy would come on at the end and it would say, this has been a test of the emergency broadcast system. Had this been an actual emergency, and it went on to tell some of the things that you would have expected to heard. And listen, it's one thing. Again, it's one thing. When those sirens begin to go off on a clear, sunny day. But it's another thing when those sirens in your life begin to go off, when there's a real storm cloud that's brewing in your life, when the skies are dark and the skies are gray. And I'm encouraging you today that that's the kind of situation that your faith was built for. What about when you find yourself in an actual emergency, in your health, in your marriage, in your finances? Listen, in many ways, I really believe that what God is using this season for, he didn't cause it, but his power, he's so powerful that he's able to use all things for his good. I believe that one of the things that God's doing through this season is it's a testing of our faith. It's easy to say we trust God when all things are going good. It's easy to say we trust God for our health when the news of a virus is not in the headlines. It's easy to say we trust God for our provision whenever the economy is booming and the economy is rolling. Listen, I believe that one thing that God is going to do for our good is he's going to use this to deepen and strengthen our faith. And last week I shared this, but I believe it bears repeating. I had a vision as I was praying before last Sunday, and I just saw quickly, I saw someone using a thermometer to just scan across someone's forehead. And then I just quickly saw that instead of a number upon that thermometer, that there were some things that were flashing across. And though I believe that the Lord spoke to me that they were things that were going to be used as evidence to show us where we might have an infection in our heart, an infection in our soul. The same way that a fever is an indication of an infection in our physical body. That the Lord is going to use this season to maybe show us some places, and that maybe some of the places where we begin to fear, some of the places where we begin to have anxiety or panic or worry or fear, where God was going to use this to show us that they were places where we had misplaced our trust. And use it as an opportunity for us to say, Lord, in this season, in this hour, I recognize that my trust can only be put in you. You're the only source of my health. You're the only source of my protection. You're the only source of my provision. All things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And you know, I really believe that this season where God's just slowed down our lives and he's called us in many ways back home under one roof together as a family, he's interrupted some things. He's pushed pause on some things. And I believe there's a tremendous opportunity. And that we're in those places where it might feel like opposition at first, if we'll just look for the opportunities for what God desires to do. And you know, I believe that this season where as a nation, really we're under a nationwide quarantine is a test. And you know, I began to look into this and I recognized that that word quarantine actually means 40. And the root word that it's derived from is literally the number 40. In Italian, it's quaranta, and it means 40. In Spanish, hola mi hermanos en Cristo, it's cuarenta, 40. The word quarantine is derived from the word 40. You say, Pastor T, what's that mean to us? Well, listen, all throughout the Bible, I mean all throughout the Bible, front to back, the number 40 is a number that's associated with testing to prepare you for the promises. All throughout the Bible, Moses spent 40 years in the desert being prepared for his calling to be used of God to deliver the people of God from the bondage that they were under. Goliath taunted Israel for 40 days before David arrived on the scene to slay him. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit for, guess how many days? 40 days. Noah built an ark and God flooded the earth and it rained for 40 days. And the Israelites were led through the wilderness for 40 years. Isn't that amazing? I mean, is it possible that this is a testing of our faith that God intends to use to prepare us for a greater measure, a greater level of the promises that he has in his heart for you, for your marriage, for your family, for your business? Listen, I'm just telling you, God has a promised land for you. And one of the primary stories of the Old Testament was God delivering the people of God, the people of Israel, out of their bondage in Egypt so that they could continue or begin the journey towards the promised land that he had spoken that they would inhabit. And you know, when God went into motion, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart and that God sent Moses and God sent Aaron and they said, let my people go. And I sense that God is using this to say, let my people go. And I believe that the heart of God in this season is to highlight the spiritual pharaohs, The things that have held you and have held me in bondage or captivity, the things that have held us back or hindered us from moving forward to the promised land that God has for you. And again, hear me, people of God. God has a future. He has a hope. He has a promised land. He has something more in store for you, for your marriage, for your family, for your children. And I'm telling you, God's going to see us through to those things. But maybe God's using this season to highlight some things that have held us in bondage, to highlight some things that have held us captive, to highlight some things that maybe we've allowed to take their place over the place that only God should have in our heart and in our mind. And in the places where we've elevated professional athletes, or in the places where we've put our trust in the stock market or the economy, or in the place where we've made idols out of actors and singers and entertainers, God has paused all of that. He's saying the things that have held you captive or hindered you, I'm using this season to reveal them to you, because I have a promised land that I want to see you to. And you know how the story goes. Despite the fact that God moved miraculously and made a way that the people of God were released from their bondage and released from their captivity, the real test of their faith came during the journey towards the promised land. If you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 20, and in verse 6 and verse 7, God says, he's talking about this promise that he had for the people of God. And he said, on that day I swore to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had selected for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. In other words, it was a good place. It was a good promise that God was trying to lead the people of God to. And he says, I said to them in verse 7, cast away each of you the detestable things of your eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt, for I am the Lord your God. Watch what it says in verse 8. It says, but they rebelled against me and were not willing to listen to me. They did not cast away the detestable things of their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. And in verse 10, it says, therefore I led them out of Egypt and brought them in to the wilderness. And the plague was used to get the people out of Egypt, but the wilderness was used by God to get Egypt out of the people. And listen, I believe that this is a powerful picture of what God is doing in our lives and in our nation in this season. You see, God has a plan for our nation. God has a plan and a promise for every person, every marriage, and every family, and every young person. But listen, just because God has promised it doesn't mean that you will experience it. And that scripture that we read earlier, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that formula of faith for this season, it said, if my people humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face. And God's part is to do the forgiving and the healing and the restoring, but our part is to turn from some things and to turn to him. And Acts chapter 7, verse 39, talking about that same story of the people of God having been rescued by God and being led through the wilderness, and God's been providing for them in miraculous ways with manna from heaven and a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It's amazing all the things that God did to provide for his people. And yet Acts 7 verse 39 says this, but our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. And listen, I want to encourage you with some things that God's desire really is to use this season, all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But how this season goes for you will depend upon who you turn to. God's plan really is. I challenge this. I encourage this with this. I really believe this, that God's heart is that we would come out of this season somehow, some way, more connected, more committed, and more convinced. But where God has a plan for your life, you better believe that Satan also has a plan. Where God has a plan for your marriage, you better believe that Satan also has a plan for your marriage. Where God has a plan for your children, you better believe that Satan also has a plan for your children. And God's plan might be that you would be more connected and more committed and more convinced, but Satan would like to use this season to cause you to be discouraged, depressed, and divided. Listen, I really believe for some people, this situation that we've been dealt, we didn't ask for it, we didn't expect it, but we're making the most of it. For some, it can be a time of renewed faith and a commitment to family. But for others, if you're not careful about who you turn to, about what you turn to, it could become a season of fear and isolation. Be mindful of who you trust in. Be careful of who you turn to. There's a peace that you can find in the bottom of a bottle, the bottle of pills or the bottle of alcohol. There's a peace that you can find by going to that website or going to those places in your heart or in your mind. But it's a peace that's fleeting. And I'm telling you, in this season, if we make a decision that in this day, in this hour, we are putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not turning to those things. We're not turning back to Egypt. We realize that it is the Lord who has saved us, and it is the Lord that's going to see us through and see us to the promises he has for you, for your marriage, for your family, for your children. Come on, you need to hear it. So for some, this could be a time of renewed faith and recommitting, reconnecting to family. But for others, the same time, the same season, could be a time of increased fear and isolation. It all depends on who or what you trust in and who or what you turn to. Be mindful of who or what you trust in. Be mindful of who or what you turn to in this season. Right where you are today with whoever you're with, I want to encourage you to just stand to your feet. And as you stand, I want to encourage you to just begin to ask the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are you speaking to me through this message? What are you highlighting to me about the places that maybe I've been in bondage or captivity? The places in my heart, the places in my mind, the attitudes that I've had or held that have kept me from breaking free and moving forward to the promises that you have for me. And I trust that right there, because of his great love for you, as you're just asking him, Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me those things. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares about the promise. It's his promise that he's spoken over your life and that he desires to lead you through. And I trust that he's just showing you, speaking to your heart right there. And as he speaks to you, as you hear from his heart right there, just begin to do business with God. Just begin to say, God, in that place where I've had misplaced trust, in that place where, in that season where my faith has been tested, in that season where my faith has been tested, and I've turned to some things that weren't of you, they weren't your best, and they definitely weren't you. And Lord, I thank you that you care enough for me that you're willing to show me. And the Bible says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but there is the gentle voice of conviction. And listen, whenever God reveals something to you, it's because he always wants to heal something in you. And so whatever it is that he's speaking to you, whatever it is that he's showing to you, just right there, right now, just begin to say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you care enough about my future. You care enough about the promises for me, for my marriage, my family. Lord, that you care enough that you sent your son to make a way that I might be healed and saved and set free. And just right there, just one more moment, just take a moment, just thank God. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you're setting people free. Thank you, Lord, that you're showing us in this season, Lord, where there's a testing of our faith, God, that your desire is to strengthen our resolve. Your desire, God, is to develop perseverance, and perseverance that develops eternal, lasting character in our hearts. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And lastly, I want to speak to you. If through this difficult season, you've discovered that you are far from God. And maybe you once knew God. Maybe you once served God. Maybe you grew up in the church, but life has happened and the cares of this world have caused you to look up, and today you realize that you're in a desperate need for a Savior. And listen, if that's you, we believe that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to pay the price that you could never pay, to make a way that you could come home into a relationship with God that transcends religion. And listen, if that's you right now, I just want you to respond to God and just say, God, that's me, and I'm running home to you. And we believe that God is waiting for you with open arms, and he's not just waiting, but he's running towards you to welcome you back home. And if that's you today, we want to pray this prayer with you and for you. And we do it for a couple reasons. And one is to let you know right away that there's a church family that's standing with you and praying with you and believing for you. And we also do it because it reminds us that even as a church family, we're growing in our faith. We never graduate from grace. And so come on, right now, church family, let's pray this together. Repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you that life, and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, come on, because of the cross of Jesus, I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, right where you are today, would you just rejoice and celebrate with all of heaven for the precious people who gave their lives to Jesus today? And listen, if you responded to God today, we want to encourage you. We'd love to follow up with you. We want to encourage you. We have a gift that we would love to send you. And right now, would you text new life, all one word, new life, to the text number 30500. Well, come on, people of God, aren't you grateful that God is working in our hearts? He's working in our lives. He's working all things together for the good of those who turn to him and trust in him. Come on, let's worship the Lord one more time together.
I'm gonna worship my way through this battle. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You turn it around. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You turn it for
Thank you for joining with us today. We hope that this service was a blessing and an encouragement to you. At Rev City, we are family and we care about you. If you have any prayer requests or needs during this time, would you text CARE to 30500 so one of our pastors can follow up with you.
Hey, we love you. We're praying for you. And we want to encourage you, stand strong in the Lord. Look to Him to be your source of health, protection, and provision. God bless you. We're praying for you. Have a great day.